another fine show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio is the radio show that is changing the world through science and spirituality as we realize that our well-being and our happiness is through our own thoughts. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio, the Jules. Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. Oh, I have missed you all so much. It just seems like it's been forever since I recorded my show. I want to thank my wonderful friend and co-host, Lee Harris, who stepped in for me with extra duties. And I especially want to thank him for the wonderful dedication he gave to my father, who passed away on Thanksgiving Day. Did you all hear the beautiful music that Lee recorded called Angels? You know, I went through a whole box of tissues listening to that show. I also want to thank each and every one of you who have sent me such wonderful messages of loving support from around the world. It meant so much to me, truly. There was one email I received from a listener in Australia, Christine, whose father also passed away on Monday. We had very similar experiences, and because she's a nurse, she was able to explain to me some of the physical things that were happening. It was so wonderful to share back and forth our individual experiences, and I know that you will all join me in sending huge hugs and love out to Christine and her family. You know, my dad chose to show me what consciousness is all about. I think it was such a miracle to witness this, and I want to share with you my proof that death does not exist as we know it. Because here's the thing, until we lose the fear of dying, we truly cannot begin to live. And this is what the show is about tonight, how to live in joy no matter what is going on around us. We have the power to live in joy. And Barbara Kilbranson is here to tell us how to do it, especially during this holiday season. This is going to be a wonderful, miraculous show, so stay tuned, and we'll be right back after these messages. You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at loaradionetwork.com. Do you have panic attacks or anxiety? Are you in the middle of crisis or in a depression? Are you experiencing grief or a broken heart? Do you have everything going for you, but you feel like something is missing? Could you be experiencing the fear of success? Well, whatever the problem, I would love to help guide you through it with fast, easy, and insightful hypnosis. Let me introduce you to your magnificent self with a phone or Skype hypnosis session. Remember, there's nothing more important than you being happy. So let's change your mind and your world immediately. Contact me, Jules Johnson, Certified Hypnotherapist, at 951-201-2166 or go to lawofattractiontools.com. Okay, you are back and you're listening to Law of Attraction Talk Radio, and I'm Jules, your host. So let's talk about my life-changing experience on Thanksgiving. First, many of you know, my father had lymphoma, which was diagnosed about 15 months ago. He really went through a rough year of chemo and radiation. The side effects were really horrible, and even though I have so many wonderful friends that are significant healers, you all know healing has to do with the belief system, and my dad was just not accepting that our body and our minds can heal ourselves, so I had to learn to just let him go through his experience with his own beliefs. He believed chemo would help him, and he believed radiation would help him. So I had to accept that. And as many of you also know, I was my father's full-time caregiver. I did this because he deserved to be sick and to be comforted at home, and finally to die at his home with his cats and family completely surrounding him. I was determined to make this happen. The beginning of November, hospice was initiated. Tuesday before Thanksgiving, things had progressed rapidly, and I called hospice in the middle of the night. They prescribed 24 hours assistance because the end was close. By 10 p.m. the next evening, Wednesday, it was time to call my three brothers and sister and give them the option to come or not. They all came except for one brother. He couldn't be reached because his cell phone was on vibration and he did not hear the call. Dad was now unresponsive, but as I sat with him all those hours, I could see his body jump all of a sudden like a jolt. I knew he was having an out-of-body experience because the jolt is a definite sign. I asked the nurse, "Is Dad still here?" She said, "No, he's in both worlds now." Interesting definition of out-of-body. She took a flashlight to his eyes, and there was no dilation of the pupils. I sat back and looked at him. I kept touching him and telling him that he can leave on his schedule. It was okay to go. His breathing was so labored. And all of a sudden, I saw a brilliant blue flash above his bed. And the first thought I got was that Mom was here waiting for him. I told the nurse that, and we both got chills going up and down our spine at the same time. I was delighted by that confirmation. Now, what was so unusual about Dad was that there was no mottling of the skin, no discoloration of his feet, and his feet were still warm. So we thought we had much more time. Possibly he could last until Friday. As a matter of fact, the nurse ordered medication to be delivered on Friday. So the whole family gathered, with the exception of my one brother, who couldn't be reached. They all talked to him, holding his hand, touching his body, and telling them how much they loved him. Even my dad's cat stood at the door of his bedroom and talked to my dad. And my dad, being comatose, still lifted his eyebrows as he heard the cat. So I brought the cat to his bed and brought Dad's hand to feel the cat's fur. Now, with the family here, we all took turns trying to sleep, knowing that the nurse would wake us immediately if there was any change. And soon it became 6 a.m. on Thanksgiving morning. His breathing was getting weaker, but still no discoloration. I was the only one in his room at that time, and the nurse asked me, "Who is he waiting for?" I said, "My brother, Jerry." I told the nurse the story, and the nurse said, "Could you try one more time, and perhaps we could put the phone up to his ear, and Jerry could say goodbye." So I went out and woke up my sleeping brother, Jim, and brought him into the room with Dad. And I asked him, "Would you please, Jim, call Jerry again and see if he can say his goodbyes to Dad over the phone? Dad's waiting for him." Jim looked at me like I was some kind of a nut, which is normal, and said, "Okay." He called Jerry, and again, Jerry did not pick up the phone. But now, Jerry noticed that his phone was vibrating and called Jim back within the minute. The next thing I knew was that Jim came into Dad's bedroom and said, "Jerry's on his way. The nurse told me, tell your dad he's coming." I leaned down to Dad's ear and whisper, "Jerry's on his way, Dad. He's coming." All of a sudden, there was a huge sigh of relief from my dad. I couldn't believe it. He was comatose. How did he know this? The nurse heard the sigh, and she confirmed he heard it. 40 minutes later, my brother walks into the house and goes into the bedroom, and the nurse leaves him to give him some privacy. The nurse came out and told us that his respiration had actually improved from around 8 to 12 per minute, so it could be later in the day before he passes. 3 minutes later, my brother Jerry walks out of the room with tears strolling down his face. The nurse checks Dad, and within the next minute, gathers us all around. And within 2 minutes, my father was gone. He just wasn't going to go until Jerry got there. Now, this showed me a few things. Even though Dad was comatose, he knew exactly who was here and who wasn't. He was the one that was in control of his dying. He waited for my brother, and even if it looked like he could have waited for a few more days until my brother came, this just proves it all. Consciousness exists, energy exists, and death does not. It's much like birth. Labor is involved in being born, as well as the labor we experience when we die. You know, I believe there are two times when we are closest to God, when we are born and when we die. By being at one's death, we are truly blessed. We have given a piece of ourselves during this birthing. And as hospice tells us, we touch the face of God and we will never be the same. To say my father's death changed my life is an understatement. Dad delivered the best Thanksgiving of my life, and I am so grateful. So I know that he is with my mom and his family. I know he is happy, and I know he is free from pain, and I know he realizes that I told him so. But there is still a huge adjustment for me. A transition for me. There's like this loss of energy surrounding me, a hole. And even though I'm so thrilled for him, I realize that the familiar energy of him has died from me. I needed to take the time for my physicalness and surroundings to adjust to this void of energy. I can be happy for him. And I can still feel depleted, a loss, a hole. But this shall pass. I have learned so much about life through my father's death. I never would have guessed that Dad would be a great teacher for me in metaphysics. Now that I release the fear surrounding death, and knowing that we are all immortal beings, now I can fully comprehend living in joy. Barbara Gulbranson is one of the nation's leading spiritual teachers, author, and New Thought minister. She is the founder of Live Your Joy Institute, a nonprofit church without walls dedicated to teaching spiritual principles for joyous living. And she is the publisher of the Joy newsletter. Barbara's focus is on teaching principles of truth, not only to foster growth and healing and happiness of the individual, but also to create peace on earth. In keeping with this vision, she has helped thousands of people change their lives through her innovative style of teaching, practical spirituality for successful living. Barbara is the author of Live Your Joy, How to Awaken from Spiritual Slumber, and How to Attract Your Soulmate, The Secrets of Lasting Love. She's also a frequent guest on radio shows throughout the United States and Canada, including the Universal Learning Series and Unity FM, as well as the third time here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio. She's appeared on WFLA's daytime TV, and she's also been featured in publications including South Bend Tribune and St. Petersburg's Times. Welcome back, Barbara, to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio. It's been too long.
Thank you, Jules. I'm so excited to be here again.
Barbara, it can be really hard to live your joy during the holidays right now. People have lost loved ones, or tempers fly, financial issues, stress, everything about the materialism of Christmas. give us some advice on how to cope with the season and still live in joy.
You're right, Jules. It's a very stressful time for people. Not everybody is cheerful during the holidays. You know how the media portrays all this happiness, and some people have lost a loved one and at Christmas time, and it brings back memories, and there's a lot of grief and depression, but we can live our joy. And the first thing that we want to do is to notice what I call the joy zappers and the joy imposters. To notice, especially at the holidays, what zaps our joy. And that's what depletes us, seems to deplete us of joy, because the joy always is within us. And the joy imposters are those things that we think will bring us joy, but actually don't. For example, if we think that spending a lot of money on expensive gifts will bring us joy, maybe it brings us momentary happiness, but it doesn't bring us deep, abiding joy, because then we might get the bank statement and see that we're depleted financially. And we have a tendency to overdo with the holidays. I don't know, you know, a lot of people fall prey into that trap. And that will zap our joys, doing too much, eating too much, drinking too much, and we feel we get drawn into doing this. So we have some tools to overcoming this. The first thing that I advise is for everybody to make a joy toolkit. And this is something that really works, because I've had to use my own joy toolkit. And in that toolkit, which can actually be a physical box or a bag, or I bought a beautiful box in a craft store. And in it, for my joy toolkit, I have spiritual things and things that bring me back to center. So when we feel depleted of joy, we simply open our joy toolkit. And you might have an inspirational music CD. I have a Buddhist chanting player, an angel card. I have a Everybody Love Raymond DVD, because that makes me laugh. You might have a treasured photograph. And when you're starting to feel overstressed and zapped of joy, just open that up, and you will be brought back. You know, you want to put spiritual items, maybe a photograph. It could be a photograph of a loved one that's not with you anymore, or a beloved pet. So that's the first step in living your joy during the holidays.
I love it. What a great idea.
Yeah, and actually, I really did have to use my joy toolkit, and I have all my students make one, and everybody just, I've gotten testimonials of how it instantly, you know, brings that vibration back up if we're feeling drained. Actually, our final project in the classes, the Live Your Joy classes that I teach, and we all share the contents of that, and you might even put a piece of chocolate in it, or something special that always brings you back to connecting with your source. Because when we're not in joy, we're feeling disconnected from our source. It's because we're missing, we're always connected to God, but we're not feeling it. So we want to raise our vibration back up and feel that again.
Now that's a very important point that you just brought up. When we feel out of sorts, or we feel depressed or anxious, we're really not connected with Source. That's why we feel like that, right?
We don't feel that we're connected.
Yes, you're correct. Feel connected.
Right? We don't feel that we are, because that's if we felt our connection, we would not fall into the stress. So we always want to bring ourselves back. We want to awaken, reawaken, and remember who we really are, divine beings on this planet Earth. And we're here to shine our light on the earth. And so we always want to raise our vibrations back and remember, you know, and then we start to relax again and we could breathe. Another way to stay centered during the holidays is make sure you have time in silence, because of all the activity. I mean, there's lights blasting, there's music going, the malls are just, oh, we want to simplify and spend time, some time in silence, even if it's 10 minutes a day, if that's the best you can do. We need to savor that silence, and that's another way to bring ourselves back to center. And, you know, so many people feel that they have to keep going and doing. I've simplified my holidays so much. I actually make jam in the summer, and then I just wrap it up and give it away at Christmas time, because then you're not overloaded with all these gifts and all this shopping and things you feel like you have to do. And you really can simplify the holidays quite a bit.
Great idea.
And one of my most important things that I would say is remember to connect with your angels. And this is most important.
'Tis the season of angels right now. So let me ask you, are angels around more during Christmas, or are we simply seeing them with all of the images of Christmas around us?
I think we see a lot of images of angels at Christmas, but they're just equally present at any time, and they're always with us. And when we connect with the angels, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just it creates such deep abiding joy because you're living on a different level. I connect with them constantly, and everybody has angels, at least one or more, and they're just waiting for you to invite them in. Now, they're there all the time, and you have to invite them, though. You have to ask them. They will not intervene because they won't interfere with your free will unless it's time to make your transition and it's not really your time to go. They will intervene without you asking. But in normal day-to-day living, all you have to do is ask. And if the listeners could write down part of de-stressing during the holidays, ask. Ask your angels for help. And they rush in to assist you. That's what they're there for. It's like they're waiting outside the door, and they're just asking you to open it just a crack. And that's all you need to do, just a little bit, and they will rush in to assist you.
What can we ask of the angels?
Well, you can ask them anything. You could ask them for protection. Say it's a stormy night and you have to drive. You could ask them for protection. You could ask them, I asked them, here's an example, and this is kind of a comical example. It seems that the more you connect with them, the more they show up in your lives because you've opened yourself up to that. I was in Starbucks, and I'm going to write a newsletter called Angels in Starbucks because I love this story. And they play a little game where they, at least in my Starbucks, they write down the answer to a question, and you have to they say 70% of Americans do this or whatever, and you have to figure out what it is. So I'm standing in line. I love to play, and play is one of the things you could do to raise your vibration. And I never win this thing, and I'm like a little child. And so they had the thing, 70% of Americans do this. They hide their money here. And I clearly heard an angel. It was so loud as if I could almost feel the breath on my ear because it was like a tall being behind me. And he said, shoes. So I said, shoes, and I didn't even think. I didn't use my conscious mind and say, well, maybe it's not your I just came out. And the girl goes, yes, you want a free pastry. And I was jumping up and down because they were having fun, but also they were giving me confirmation of their existence because sometimes you can ask for a sign or something, and they will confirm their existence. And that's what happened, angels in Starbucks. That's what happened that day. It was confirmation of them being there. So you could really ask them anything.
That's a great story. So you're saying that we can ask for anything and that the angels will always be there to assist us in that.
As long as we ask, and as long as it's something with a good intention, obviously that's what it would be. As long as we ask, and they will guide you and be your part. They're like your partner in life. And I really feel like I have a partner or many partners. There's more than one. It's a partner on your sacred journey, and they will guide you. Now, the trick is to listen to the guidance. We get tripped up a lot because we don't listen. It's like, the way I connect with angels, I hear them. That's called clairaudience. I have seen them on occasion, but that's not something that happens continuously. I clearly hear messages in my mind's ear. And we don't listen to those messages sometimes, and that's where we get into trouble, because we might say, oh, that's nonsense. Oh, that's not. We talk ourselves out of it. So I'm asking this Christmas season to really pay attention to the messages. Now, somebody might get it in seeing a vision, or somebody might hear it. There's all different ways, an inner knowing. You know, there's different ways that we hear. We're all different. But to pay attention, because these are the answers to our prayers. You know, a book might fall off the shelf, and instead of putting it back on the shelf, look at it, because there might be a message in for you in that, in those pages.
That's good to remember. Always pay attention to things that are happening around you, for they could be signs from your angels. Now, we often talk on the show about the inner guidance system, and when the spirit or perhaps angels are talking to you, you get this really, really wonderful feeling that you're going in the right direction, or this could answer a question. And when you ask yourself a question and you get a hesitant feeling or a yucky feeling, is this the angels talking to you as well?
If you're getting a yucky feeling, that sounds like it would be intuition, inner knowing. If your gut is sort of twisting, or however you feel that, that would mean it's not the direction to go in. You know, sometimes we feel that icky feeling or discomfort. Sometimes you feel it in your stomach for a lot of people, but we proceed because we say, well, I should do this. I can make money doing this, or I should do this. We do that a lot. But when you get that feeling, something is off. It's your intuition telling you, no, don't go in that direction. And any message from an angel is most often positive. That's how you know it's not your ego. Like you might say, well, how do I know it's not my own ego speaking to me? Or my, you know, it's always a positive, uplifting, guidance type thing when it's an angel communicating, giving you a message. It's like, okay, here's the next thing you should do on your path. Or it's like, comes like almost an instruction.
Wow, that's great clarity. Thank you. Is there another step that we need to know for the holidays and living your joy?
So, well, we always want to make sure we're spending time in prayer and meditation. And that becomes especially important in the holidays as we become depleted. We become out of balance at the holidays. We're eating a lot of sugary cookies. We're not quite on our normal, maybe we're not exercising as much because we're overloaded with busyness. So we're not nurturing, sometimes we're not nurturing ourselves. We're out decorating and buying gifts for other people, and we forget to nurture ourselves. So to always take time to pray, I pray unceasingly, and to meditate. I hope that everybody has a meditation practice. And if you don't, there's many books on the topic. I mean, you could find a meditation practice. Just breathe and take that time to nurture your soul. Because if you're depleted, you really can't be giving love because you're depleted yourself. So you want to keep yourself nourished during this time.
You know, it seems like every week we are stressing more and more the importance of taking 15 to 20 minutes a day to meditate. Not only because it helps you physically to stay calm, cool, and collected, but spiritually as well.
Yes, it definitely does. You have much more support. You see things clearer. You have peace once you've meditated. You know, you lose a lot of that. When you lose the stress, somehow it renews you spiritually. Meditate twice a day, too.
Oh, you do it twice a day?
Morning and late afternoon. And I just get up in the morning and it's part of my routine. It becomes as routine as brushing your teeth after a while.
And meditating should be refreshing, not a chore.
It's not a chore because it's like, I heard someone once say, it's like somebody giving you a piece of chocolate cake. You know, it's that good that you want to do it.
So let me ask you this. When you meditate, is your mind blank, or do you see images, or do you have visits from the angels? What is it like?
Actually, when I meditate, I don't do anything consciously. I just, for me, I repeat a sound in my mind, and then I go into a transcendent state. So I'm generally not communicating with my angels at that time. I'm it's more like connecting with source and just being, being in the absolute, not feeling the body, just being in the absolute. Now, if a message comes to me, I don't invoke it. If a message comes, because that would sort of be like engaging the mind. If a message comes, I pay attention. But for me, most often when I do engage with the angels, it's when I'm conscious. You could do a grounding meditation first. There are some grounding meditations that, that people do to get them ready to connect with the angels. But it's more of a conscious questioning, which that's not what I do in meditation. But meditation connects you deeper with the angelic realm, because as you become more of your divinity, you're closer to the angelic realm, which is opens you up to a greater connection and hearing them. That's why meditation is so important.
Interesting. That's good information. Barbara, in your book, Live Your Joy, you talk about all of our problems and issues. It's really about the fear of living. How do we abolish fear from our life?
Well, we abolish the fear as we deepen this connection with spirit. The fear will vanish, because you can't be fearful if you feel connected to God. You just simply cannot be fearful. So we want to take our steps of prayer and meditation and deepening our connection with spirit. And in the book, I do talk about, in the book Live Your Joy, I do talk about abolishing fear. And I have some affirmations to do. And there's also a meditation on releasing fear. But we know that as we strengthen this bond with God, which is always present to begin with, the fear just melts away. Because you can't have fear when you really feel that source and that connection. So as we use our spiritual tools, we don't have to do anything. We notice that the fear melts away as we progress spiritually. Especially during the holidays, we want to make sure that we're not acting out of fear. The fear shows up that somebody won't like you if you don't get the right gift, or the fear of not looking good enough for the Christmas party, or not weighing the right amount, or fear that if you don't eat and drink what other people are doing, they'll think you're no fun. So we want to just make sure that we're not acting out of that fear of not being accepted, that we could stand true to who we are even during the holidays, when it seems that demands are being placed on us, like you should be at this party and drink this beverage, or you should be eating all this junk food right now. So we want to make sure that we don't operate out of fear during the holidays. You buy a gift, you give it with love, or you make a gift and you give it with love, and don't worry about the outcome.
Great words of wisdom. Give with love. The vibration of love is going to be more powerful than the gift itself. Also in your book, you talk about something that I'm extremely passionate about. That's integrative medicine and how to use the healthcare system in a way that honors your spiritual self. You know, having gone through Western medicine last year with my father, I got to tell you, it did nothing for either of our spiritual life until actually hospice got into the picture.
Oh, well, I tell you what, I had a health challenge not too long ago. And I went to a traditional medical doctor and found that I could not do that. I went more for diagnostic care, but I knew that that was not the route I was going. And I found an integrate, believe it or not, I found an integrative doctor. I have to drive 2.5 hours, who combines mind, body, and spirit. He promotes meditation. He gives you herbs. But yet he's one of these integrative doctors, and it's wonderful. So we're not saying not to use the medical modality, because sometimes you might need a little assistance with that, to try and find somebody who takes that integrative approach, who honors mind, body, and spirit, and who doesn't just push pills on you without trying to find out what's really going on, because it's not a one-size-fits-all. Some of these doctors, I don't want to say anything negative about our medical doctors, because They do a great job, but it's not a one-size-fits-all. You go to the doctor for a certain thing, and they give you a standard prescription. You want to find a provider who looks at the whole person and brings into balance. What happened with me personally, I think I can share this, I needed some magnesium. And this healthcare practitioner gave me a magnesium that I actually rub into my skin, and the situation I was having disappeared with that. Now, also, we do know that there's a metaphysical things going on when we're facing illness. So we want to hit it with prayer. We want to hit it with meditation. But also, if we need assistance in the medical realm to find a doctor that honors the whole body approach. And they are out there. The only thing is that you have to do some looking. That it's not readily found. It would, depending where you live, you just have to, I'm willing to travel 2.5 hours for somebody who honors me as a spiritual person.
And you probably don't have to go as often as you do with the regular doctor.
I don't, and it's just so wonderful. Now, I'm also working on the spiritual realm. We're not saying to never take medicine. We're not saying not to take vitamins or anything like that, but what we're saying is that we look at the whole approach. We use our spiritual practices with anything else we're doing. And also another thing is that when we do decide, if we make a choice to take a medication, we could hold that bottle in our hands, and we ask the angels to infuse this medication with love and light, and that it goes into our body without any harmful side effects. So if you are taking a prescription medication, to do that, and then you're infusing it with the angels' healing energy. And you could call upon Archangel Raphael, he's the angel of physical healing, to assist. So if you've got the angels healing and you've got an integrative health care provider and you're doing your part spiritually, health should manifest for you.
So you asked your angels to find you an integrative medical professional?
Yeah, and how I found one, and I was divinely led. I never had a health issue in my life, and I believe that I had experienced that so I can help other people. Because now that I have personally experienced it, when I'm doing spiritual counseling and coaching with people, I can actually help them from that understanding what they might have gone through. I went to a doctor, and she said, oh, so-and-so is an integrative guy. And I got on his webpage, and I had read this book over the summer that I loved, and he was the author of that book, and it's him. And he's right in the Midwest. Here where I live. So it was like one, see, this is what I mean about the angels. One thing leads to another. You know, there's a step and a step and a step, and it leads you to where you need to be. And now I go to see him, and I'm happy. I don't feel violated. I don't feel like someone's not treating me as a whole person. It's a wonderful experience to go see him.
To me, it's amazing because you go and get empowered by an integrated medical professional, and then you go to Western medicine, and you give away your power to this physician who doesn't treat the mind-body. But here's the good news. Dr. Bruce Lipton told me that the medical schools are now allowing in more alternative medicine understanding so that the physicians, when they get out of school, have a better understanding of the mind-body connection. So the future is great.
That's wonderful. And you know, it's really up to us to be our own healthcare advocate. You're going to go the integrative route. You have to do a lot of work because you have to find the right person. You have to say no to something that doesn't feel right for you, no matter what everyone else is. You have to turn away from mass consciousness. When we watch TV, how many ads come on for these syndromes, and some of them are made up, you know, nervous foot syndrome and whatever they come up with, and all you need this, you know, some kind of manifestation of ill health is not a depletion of their drugs. We need to nourish our body with good organic foods and alkaline water and that kind of thing.
And let us not forget our mental well-being also affects and puts stress on our bodies. So That's where the meditation and spirituality comes into play.
And in my book, I talk about, as you mentioned, integrative health, and Dr. Herbert Benson is the one who, he introduced transcendental meditation to his terminal ill patients. And he's not saying that it's going to cure the illness, but it certainly makes the effects of chemotherapy easier to live with, and it relaxes them, and it helps them, you know, on their journey. And that's the type of meditation that I do.
That is definitely very powerful meditation. I was delighted to hear that you do angel readings, which I never really knew before. And you have consented to do an angel reading for us now. I thought that it would be great to hear from the angel about the end of life.
The end of life. And you know, what just struck me when you said that is that life doesn't end, right? It's a transition.
You're absolutely right. Thank you for catching me on that.
It doesn't end. Life can't end because life is, we're spiritual. We're an aspect of God. So life can't end, but we do a transition. And I want to just add, as we move into this subject, that if you're having health issues, to affirm that health is my divine birthright. I am spiritual, therefore I have perfect health. And even if you don't believe it at first, keep affirming that, and it will sink into your subconscious mind, and you'll see great healing. And sometimes when we make our transition, I'll just say that we define that, some people call it death, but what we like to call it transition, because it's a change. And sometimes that is the healing. You know, you might say, well, I prayed and this person still left the planet. Well, you can't interfere when it's somebody's time to go. You can't, if it's their time, it's their time. My husband had a heart attack last year, and I was in his intensive care room praying and talking to the angels, and I knew very well that if it was his time to make transition, that would happen, and I was comfortable knowing that the angels would guide him on his path. He's a young man who experienced this, but I was praying for his healing. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if that's leaving the planet. He's actually still with us today and completely healthy, which is wonderful. But what I'm saying is we can't always dictate what the healing looks like. Somebody might still, you know, make their transition. So we always have a choice when it's time to go. You know, have you heard it said, Jules, that you never leave without your consent to leave?
Well, you know, I haven't heard that before, but it was definitely proven to me last week.
Yeah, it is always our choice. And it is a change, and we still live. And when you have an out-of-body experience, you're still thinking outside of your body. And so you realize that the body is lying there inert, and if you're out of your body and you're still consciously thinking, something goes on that's not the body. You know that without a shadow of a doubt. And also, some people experience astral travel at night when they're sleeping, and that's another way you leave the body and you astrally go places, and another way that you know that something else goes on. You are not your body. And we use this body, though, to do wonderful things on Earth. I mean, we choose to have this vehicle for the time being. Spirit wants to take form, and that's why we're here. But once you have that out-of-body experience, you do know.
Barbara, when you have your out-of-body experience, do you get to see people? Do you see the angels? Do you see people that passed?
No, I have never had that experience during an I have not. But I've had visitations by people who have passed from my own life. And how we know it's a visitation is so that they often come to us when we're sleeping, and people say, well, how do you know it's not a dream? And that's because, you know, you tend to remember it years later, and you remember the details, whereas when you have a dream, you might wake up and remember it, but generally you don't remember it for the next 10 years. You forget
right.
it. And when you have the visitation, you absolutely know that you've had it. And sometimes they come at night because that's when we're quieted down.
Interesting. So, Barbara, let's begin the angel reading.
Okay. So we want to ask the angels what they might want to tell us about when we transition. Okay. Well, what I'm getting is a big message of fear not is what they say. And they seem to be saying, fear not, we are always with you, showering you with love. And they're communicating, don't be scared, we love you. And to go into the light, and that the light is very good. And they're saying that life is a continuum and it's never ending. And see, I don't know, it says keep a pure heart on earth and add to the light of the world, but you are cared for. We have been with you from the beginning of time. So, this is very beautiful. They say death does not knock at your door, love does. So what I'm feeling is that this is just a transition that's shrouded in love. And they're saying you are safe and you are guided in your journey. And they say, why would we leave you in transition? We're here to assist, serve you and God. Those who mourn know not that your loved one is safe with us. This is strange. It says death is a change of venue. Not quite sure what that means. I think that they're telling us that to fear not, that this is all about love. This is all about love. And though we grieve here and we're crying for our loved one passing and we fear our own time of transition, there's nothing to fear. This is all about love and peace. And they go with us when it's time to go. So that's what I'm getting.
Well, it's good to know that there's not a person on earth who dies alone then.
No, not really, because their angels are with them, escorting them to the other side. You know, one time I had an experience where three beings came to me, and they said to me telepathically, and they were beautiful, they said, you can go with us now. And I believed that would have meant I would have made my transition. And telepathically, I thought about it for a moment, and telepathically I said back to them, no, I still have things to do. And they were like, okay, and they left. And the whole experience was this ecstatic, it was peace. It was like this deep, abiding, peaceful feeling. And I have a feeling that if I said, okay, I'll go with you now, I don't have anything else to do, that it would have continued to be peaceful as we went over. I had a choice. I have heard that sometimes before we incarnate on the planet, there's certain dates that we can transition out, and then on that date we might have an accident or an illness, and we can choose to go or not go. And I don't know when the final date comes, perhaps that's when we leave, but I believe that, say we have a terminal illness, I believe that we consent and say, okay, yeah, I'm ready to go. Or if we have an accident and our body is just badly broken, you know, we might decide, okay, this is time. You know, I don't know what the determining factor is when your journey, when you've completed your life purpose or you need to move on to the next stage of development and growth.
You know, the most powerful information I got from my father passing last week is that the labor of birth is so similar to the labor of dying, and I never put the two together. That is fascinating to me.
And I'm sure he was very fortunate to have you by his side. You know, we're all spiritual, whether we recognize it while we're on this plane or not. It all comes down to it that the truth is that we are all spiritual. And some people get mad at God if they are facing illness. Some people, I have heard, get angry at God and forsake God and lose their faith. And you need to keep that faith. It's easy to have faith when everything is going well. But to have faith when you're facing a challenge and to understand that there is a higher meaning and there is a spiritual purpose, whether it's soul growth or some lesson, a love lesson, whatever, if something goes on. And I know that my faith has remained unshaken at times like that. I never got mad at God when my husband had the heart attack or anything like that, because we understand that it all happens for a higher purpose.
Did your husband change after his heart attack?
No. I shouldn't say that. He has changed. But I can't say that he has changed. Yes, definitely he has. He takes a lot of holistic measures, which I'm happy to report. I can't say that now all of a sudden he's totally metaphysical.
Well, he may be in his own spiritual way.
Right. I mean, everyone's on the path. He thinks angels are dead people, and I keep telling him, no, angels are cosmic beings. They're not. Those are spirit guides. He's talking about, like, spirit guides. There's a difference. Angels are cosmic beings. They're messengers of God, and he doesn't quite get that yet.
Well, that's interesting. Tell us more. Are spirit guides dead people?
Yeah, spirit guides could be somebody who has passed. Like, say your father can come and guide you after he's completed his transition. You know, it could be, usually, often it is a relative that is guiding you. Whereas an angel is a cosmic being of its own classification. So there is a difference between the two. And some people connect with their spirit guides and a lot. And I just happen to connect with angels mostly.
You know what I love about angels? The fact that everybody associates love with angels. They could even be in human form, in the physical form. A physical angel, and they're still about love. It's hard not to love an angel.
And when you partner with them, your life unfolds in beautiful ways. I don't think I do anything anymore without asking them to do it through me. When I publish a joy newsletter, which is free, and it's an email newsletter, and it's messages from the angel, I sit down with a blank slate, and I say, use me. Do this through me, and then it comes out, and I'm like, this is wonderful, and thank you, and let me be your messenger on earth. Let me serve you and bring your messages to the people.
You know, tonight's show is all about the angels and knowing that you're never alone. From birth to death, an angel is always with you. All you have to do is call out. Ask the angels for help, and they are there to give you all the guidance that you could possibly need. And when you feel totally unloved, you need to realize that you're not, because the angels love you and send you their love. You just got to open up and feel them. Watch for the signs. That's what Christmas is all about. Be aware of the signs, because they're always trying to get your attention, and they're always there to help. Now that's the best Christmas message ever. Thank you, Barbara, for bringing us this very important Christmas message. And before we run out of time, I want to have you tell everybody how they can take these classes. Live Your Joy, and where to get your book. And even more important, I want to make an announcement that you are now a faculty member of the University of Attraction through Law of Attraction Radio Network, and you're going to be teaching this course to everyone. I'm so excited.
Yes, I'm so excited about that. I'm going to teach the Live Your Joy class. And we're really going to learn, how do we live our joy when tragedy is going on in the world, or something comes up in our life that is is we lose our jobs or someone has an illness, how do we live in that state of joy with all this going on around us? And we're going to find out the five keys to living your joy. We're going to really delve into these joy zappers and really get it that joy is an inside job. We're going to have a class on angels. We'll have a session on angels also. And we'll just learn how to incorporate this into the core of our being and know that we could. Joy isn't happiness. It's not sensory pleasure. It goes beyond that. It's sacred. How do we reveal that in our lives, in our daily hectic lives when the bills are piling up and we're busy and whatever? And that's what we're going to really incorporate into our lives, and we can.
I know this is going to be such a great class, and I'm so looking forward to taking it myself. Now, I want to mention that the launching date for the University of Attraction is going to be January 18th, and all of the classes are going to be free. All of the hypnosis downloads are going to be free. All the articles, free ebooks, it's all going to be free. So watch for the email that comes to you. Sign up to get an email on this right away, and we'll make sure you know all about it. Now, Barbara, tell us exactly where we could go to learn more about you and to purchase your book, Live Your Joy.
Live Your Joy is available at www.liveyourjoy.org. Liveyourjoy.org. It's also available through Amazon.com. And you could sign up for the free joy newsletter at liveyourjoy.org. And should I talk about, if you're interested in, I do spiritual coaching and angel readings, and if you're interested in that, you can contact me at liveyourjoy.org.
And you have Live Your Joy Institute, a church without any walls. I just love that.
It's a nonprofit church without walls. I'm dedicated to teaching spiritual principles, and whether that be in person or a teleconference call or coaching sessions, just I want to see everybody living their joy because it's available to us right now.
Barbara, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your wealth of knowledge and helping us to get through the holidays with a smile on our face and joy in our heart. And I especially want to thank you for being a new faculty member at the University of Attraction. I am so excited to take your class.
Thank you, Jules. It's always a pleasure to be here. Happy holidays.
Thanks again, Barbara. And to all my wonderful listeners out there, thank you. Thank you, thank you for being here, for listening, for giving me all of your energy. I love you all. You have no idea how much I love you. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again next week with another great show. For more information, go to lawofattractiontools.com or contact Jules personally at jules@loaradionetwork.com.